Well, we're glad you're back here tonight. We trust that you had a wonderful Mother's Day, and it's just a privilege to spend a day like this, even if you're not in a house surrounded with kids like Carol and I are. But to just think about that that privilege that the Lord gave you. And again tonight, to be reminded of our responsibility still. Even for our children who are not at home, you're still mothers. And perhaps even grandmothers. And the scriptures, as we saw today, suggest that you have a far deeper influence in young people's lives than you realize. And so we hope that we might be, all of us, encouraged, and whether we have been mothers or not, we still can have an influence in people's lives in a very powerful way. And we ought to be witnesses, like we saw in Hebrews chapter 12, one of those clouds of witnesses that are going to encourage all of us who tend to wander away and go astray, to stay close with the Lord. Tonight, we want to conclude our little portion here by taking a look at some women and mostly mothers in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we are going to read about five women, but two of them are addressed in the same verse. Four groups of women here, mothers of faith. And that was what Paul really appreciated about Timothy's grandmother and Timothy's mother, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, that they had an unfeigned faith and that it was in them. And so what does that look like? That's what we have Hebrews chapter 11 for in the Bible. What is that kind of faith? What is saving faith? What does faith in the Lord Jesus really look like? Are we women and men of faith because we come here and sing songs from books and listen to preachers preach from the Bible? Does that make us men and women of faith? Are we men and women of faith because we decide to invest in enormous sum of our money to help the Lord in His work? What is it? What does it mean to be a man or a woman of faith? What does that look like? Hebrews 11 is the chapter in the Bible that helps us to see that. And we're going to see, especially with these women in this section, that there are very specific ways that we can express faith in the Lord Jesus. And in those ways, when those around us, even young men around us, see us exercising faith like that, we can pass on that faith, just like Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice were able to do with Timothy. The chapter begins, Hebrews chapter 11 begins with that verse, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." Verse 6 of the chapter we read, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." In verse 13, we read about the unseen side of what faith is. These all, the people that he's been talking about, they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That is what faith, the essence of faith, what faith really is. A woman of faith, a man of faith, is going to see something that other people can't see. They live for the invisible. They haven't received it yet. We haven't received the promise of our great blessing that we are going to experience in the Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't been glorified yet. We don't enjoy practically the perfection of the new body that is coming. We don't have those things yet, but we believe that they're coming. God has promised that they're coming. And God gave His word that they're coming. And we are going to count on His word. He will not break His word. That's what it means to live by the word of God. It's not memorizing the scripture. It's by believing the unseen truths that are in the scripture and saying, God's not going to lie to me, and I'm going to live for it. And the women that we're going to look for all had, God had asked them to live for something that they couldn't see yet. They saw it afar off, and on this verse goes, it says they were persuaded by these words, persuaded by these promises. They embraced them, and they confessed them as their own. And they separated themselves out to be strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We've talked through these verses before, and so I don't want to rehash those things, but that's what faith looks like. Practically, that's what faith looks like. When we go through the teachings of Romans, we are seeing the academic thesis, the lawyer's case, the point-by-point objective proof of why a human being should embrace the greatness and the mercies of God. But here in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is presented to us in picture form. Not poetically, but in a sense poetically, in picture form, in a different kind of way, so that we can embrace them. I do find that men enjoy a thorough study of the book of Romans. I find that women enjoy a study of Hebrews chapter 11 with its stories and with its pictures. But God is able to convince both, whatever mindset we are from, what faith is and why it should be ours in our lives. Here in this passage, it's saying, men and women, you must have this faith if you want to please God. Faith is believing in things that are not seen. And so let's look at four women here in this chapter, four stories here in this chapter. And the first is found in verse 11. It involves an older woman, a woman who perhaps, her name was Sarah, who had every excuse to think that her work on earth was done. And she was ready to face the life after death. And yet God said, your work is not done. I've got more for you to do. Her name is Sarah. Through faith, it says, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past aged, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is on the seashore, innumerable. Sarah is our first example of a great woman of unfeigned faith. The Bible says, she was in desperate need of something from the Lord. And her expression of faith was to ask for God to give her strength so that she could conceive and deliver a child. The writer here is very quick and very simple, explaining the issue in her life. We know the issue, but there it is in verse 12. It says that she was as good as dead. The idea there was that she was old, too old to have a child. She was beyond the age of being able to conceive and to bear and to deliver a child. And God came to her and said to her, I want you this year to have a child. I want you this year to have a child, your own child. And from that child, there will be a great nation that will be produced. Now, in her younger years, she decided that someone else maybe could have that child. She suggested that maybe her servant girl, who was younger, who was stronger, perhaps could and should have that child. After all, she was on in years, and it didn't seem possible that she could have that child. And so we're familiar with the story of how she let her husband Abraham have a child with her servant girl Hagar. God came to her and said to her, "That was not my plan. It is not time for you to relinquish this great responsibility to be the mother of a great nation to those that are younger." That is something that comes to the natural mind, but it is not my way. You are going to have that child, and I'm asking you, just before the destruction of Sodom, this year, when we come back after all this is done, you are going to have a child. I want you to have a child. And so Sarah had to think hard about that. But what was at stake? This unseen nation. This nation who would be so many, the scriptures describe it here, that they would be beyond the counting of the stars in the sky, innumerable, and beyond the counting of the seashore, the sand on the seashore, innumerable. I don't know that we've seen that yet. Seems to me that the nation of Israel has not even come close to God's plan for that nation. It seems to me that if this text is true, that God must have plans for that nation that one day will go beyond this planet. This extraordinary expanse, this description of what God's nation is going to look like. And Sarah, I want you to be the mother of this nation. And she had to look beyond and see something afar off. God will come to you, dear woman, dear man, dear grandmother, dear mother, tonight, and ask you to see something that you don't see in your life right now. But God has a future and a purpose, and He wants to work something in the years that are to come. You think your life is over? God says, no, it isn't over. There is still work for you to do. And Sarah needed strength. Sarah needed strength. Now, I think I'm 45. 45, I can't remember my age. I'm getting, you know, when you get to be my age, you can't remember your birthday, you know. 45. And I went out to dinner the other night with Carol and two good friends of ours who help run the kids' club. A Christian couple came to know the Lord in town in Grafton, and our have opened up their home to our Bible study. We have an adult Bible study with them once a month, and they have a wonderful testimony in town. And we went out to lunch, and I was exhausted. Carol had to do all the talking. I was just I couldn't keep my eyes open. It was so, and this is, I just don't do well when I get to that time at night, and I need to figure that out a little better, but there isn't as much strength in this body of mine as there once was. Although Carol would say it's always been like that in our life. And here is Sarah in her years, in her 90s, I think. And God says, I want you to conceive, I want you to bear, and deliver a child. Enormous need for strength. I can't, Lord. I can't. Her first child, too. Those of you who are mothers, do you remember how frightening it was when the first one came? And whether you could handle it. The second one, you knew a little bit about what was coming. The third one, this was her first one. Her first one. And so she needed to receive strength. We don't know the description here, but it says, of all the details, but it says she received that strength. The implication is that she knew she needed it and she asked for it. Lord, if you want me to do this by faith, I need strength. I need strength to conceive. I need strength to deliver. Perhaps not just physical strength, but mental and emotional strength. Those of you who are women here may understand what I mean by that. For once one phase of life is over and we're going on to the next, to get up the strength to handle Isaac, to raise Isaac in her 90s, in a tent, in a place where they were pilgrims and strangers, where her husband was busy running an industry and agricultural conglomerate, fighting off kings and doing all the things that Abraham and his servants needed to do, of handling the commerce and handling the trade. She was going to be asked to handle Isaac. I need strength, Lord. I need strength. In my minds, I need strength. But I want it, Lord. I want it, Lord, because the nation is what's at stake. This great people that will be innumerable as the stars in the skies and beyond the counting of the sands and of the seashore. Her need was for strength. And perhaps someone is here tonight and that's your need. Physical strength, mental, emotional strength to do what God has asked you to do. You know, this body of yours doesn't want you to do the Lord's will. This body of yours wants you to sit on a couch and watch TV all day. This body of yours has no interest in you exerting yourself for the kingdom and the cause of Christ. The Lord asks us to bring every thought and every of our mind into the subjection of Christ. To pray, Lord, I want strength to do what you've asked me to do. Keep your fingers here in this portion. And look at this verse that I think we all know, but characterizes what this woman was looking for in Philippians chapter 4. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You want to set an example for some of the young men and women around you? Ask for God's strength to do that. Ask for God's endurance. Sarah did, and she received strength. And God wrote her name down for a simple request like that in Hebrews chapter 11. The next one is found in verse 23 of this chapter. Jochebed. Jochebed, Moses' mother. It says in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. I think you all know the story. I don't want to belabor it, but every child that was born during that time, every male child, Pharaoh's intent was that that male child be found out, surrendered to the authorities, thrown in the Nile to prevent the nation that Sarah wanted to see accomplished from growing in numbers. They were becoming as the sand of the seashore for multitude. Pharaoh's decision was that the male children were to be destroyed. But this woman here, Jochebed, she saw something afar off. The verse here says that she saw that he was a proper child. I don't know that that word means as much to me as it should. The idea here is that he was an extraordinary child, that she looked and she saw Moses and she said, this young baby is going to grow up to do something extraordinary for the Lord, and I'm going to believe it. And my dear mother or grandmother here tonight, remember when your children were first born and you held them in your arms? And what dreams you had for them, the thoughts that you had for them. God sees those thoughts. You've forgotten some of those. God hasn't forgotten them. Your children, God wants to make into extraordinary individuals. Oh, they may not end up being Moses, marching a whole bunch of home church persecuted Chinese through the Himalayas to the safety of India. I don't know if that's going to happen to them. But I guarantee you that one day, if they're the Lord's, that they will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. They will receive new bodies. And they will be given responsibilities in His eternal empire that will make their lives and bring their lives to the fulfillment of the dreams that you had on the day in the hospital when you embraced those children. Jochebed said, I don't want this child. I don't want to lose this child. And we will do what it takes to see that this child gets to manhood because she saw something afar off. You know, from time to time, we as parents, we need to be reminded of those things. You see, again, your body wants you to think that I'm done with my children. They've gone the wrong way. Their lives are never going to count for anything. I no longer have any responsibility. Now, you may not be able to tell them what to do anymore, but you can pray. You can pray. This woman here was a younger woman, not an older woman like Sarah, a younger woman. The baby is 3 months old. I'm going to hide the baby. And it is that aspect of the hiding of the baby. It isn't putting the baby in the bulrushes that the Lord is talking about here when it says of Jochebed's faith. It's the 3 months before the bulrushes where this woman's faith in the Lord, this woman's faith in the Lord is so clearly in God's eyes. I don't know, perhaps you know how babies can be in 3 months, those first 3 months, and the need to hide them, the need to keep them quiet, the need to give them the kind of sustenance and nurturing they need. But it is so hard in a refugee camp, surrounded by Pharaoh's guards, to keep a child like that quiet. The enormous pressure on that woman to keep this baby hidden, the thought, the processes, the plans that needed to be in place. Where she needed to sleep at night, perhaps no longer next to her husband Amram, she needed to sleep by the baby so that if there was a noise, she was there, she was ready. She thought it all through. And all that thinking and all that decision, there God was watching her as she tried to keep the baby hidden from Pharaoh for those 3 months. But the Lord, you can hide this child. You can be my hiding place. And I can trust you because there's something special about this child. Now, you see, Moses was not like Samson. Samson was told before he was born who he was going to be. There is nothing in the Bible that ever suggests that there was any prophecy about Moses of that sort. The Lord could have used someone else from some other family. It didn't need to be Moses. And so she saw something in this child. She dreamed of something that this child could become. She did something for this child. She hid this child these months, trusting that somehow, in some way, God was going to honor that. You know, the other side of this is that she only did that for 3 months. She didn't do it for 3 years. She only did it for 3 months. In other words, when did she put the little child in the Nile River? And there's an act of faith too, isn't there? It's one thing to perhaps put a 1-year-old or a year and a half old in the Nile River in a basket, but a 3-month-old in the Nile River in a basket? The faith that was involved with that? And as she placed that little baby there a three-month-old in that circumstance, in that situation? Will God protect this child? She was going to have to rely on the Lord, have faith in the Lord. Only the Lord could do what happened next, and we know the story. The very person she wanted to hide the child from was the very person that God wanted to find the child. And once Pharaoh's daughter found that child, Moses was brought into the safety of Pharaoh's palace, but not until Jochebed was allowed to spend how many years? I don't know, 5 years perhaps, how long it was to wean that child. All those years as she instructed Moses, taught Moses, your life is not meant for an Egyptian palace. Your life is not about a pyramid, Moses. We are the people of God and we're heading to a promised land, and there's something even bigger coming, a nation whose multitudes will be innumerable as the stars of the universe. Perhaps, Moses, it will be our nation. It will travel beyond this planet, beyond the solar system, into the galaxies. God has a plan and a vision for us. Don't let the pleasures of sin sidetrack you from who you can be, Moses. What was it that made Moses, when he became of years, choose, instead of becoming the son of Pharaoh's daughter, to rather suffer affliction with the people of God? I wonder. I wonder, was it those lessons that his mother taught him in those early years in his life? Listen, if you have a child right now, if you have someone who isn't hidden, who is exposed to the things of the world, you need to pray. God can work. God can work. And we need to have faith that the Lord can do these things in our children's lives. The next woman is found in verse 31, and it is Rahab. By faith, Rahab perished not with them. That's the expression there that I would underline in her life, with them that believed not when she had received the spies in peace. If Sarah had to see a nation whose multitudes would be beyond the stars of the universe, if Moses' parents needed to see the future of the child's life even before it happened, this extraordinary child one day would grow up to be an extraordinary leader, Rahab had to rightly understand what it meant to be with them, the men and women of Jericho. Would she perish with them? Or would she go with these spies? These two spies who come to her door, representing this nation that Sarah was living for. This nation that would be so great one day that they would simply walk around the city of Jericho and the walls of the city would completely collapse. What will this nation one day do in its glory with its Lord Jesus Christ at its head, beyond things beyond our comprehension involved with this nation? Rahab had a chance to meet the spies from this nation. And she had to make a choice. Would she stay with them, those of Jericho, or would she cast her lot with the spies? And the Lord was watching her as she made that decision. And she made the decision to receive the spies in peace. She said to them as they were about to leave, I know. I know what you're about to do. We've heard. It's all throughout the city what you did to Egypt, what you did to the kings of Moab, what you did to Og, king of Bashan. We know. And we're afraid, and I don't want to perish. How can I be saved? How can I be saved? I'm a Gentile, and you are coming to execute me because of my sin and what I've done. Is there a chance that I can be saved? The spies said, yes, there is. Here's what you do. The day of the attack, you lock yourself in this room. You lay out a scarlet cord and you stay in this room and you don't go out where they are. You stay here and you wait for us to come and bring you to safety. She said, can I bring others? And they said, anyone who's in the room behind the shut door, they'll be safe. And the neat thing about the story was, it wasn't just Rahab who was saved in that house. It was her and her whole family. She must have gone and went out and told all that she knew, all of her friends, the judgment is coming, but now I know how we can be safe, and you need to believe me on this one. In my house, locked behind the door where the scarlet cord is, if you're there at the day of the attack, you'll be safe, you'll be saved. And when Joshua and their troops came with that glorious victory, oh, they opened the door of that house, and there was Rahab and her family, and they were safe. And they were saved, and they were brought out, and them, the men of Jericho, the women of Jericho, were gone. And now all that was left was this nation that Sarah saw. And she wanted to become a part of it, and she met a man named Salmon. And they got married, and you know the story, the glorious story of how her great-great-great-great-grandson became one of the greatest kings in that nation of Israel. Little things of faith. Little things that come to our minds. The little issue in your life that you want to handle. Give it to the Lord. Trust Him. Express faith. Set an example. The last one is, the last story is found in verse 35. It is two women that are on the Lord's heart here in verse 35. It said, women received their dead, raised to life again. It's plural, women, two women. The women in this story here have to do with the two in the book of Kings, the one who knew Elijah and the other who knew Elisha. One of them, who knew Elijah, was a widow. All she had was a son, and her son died, and she wanted her son to live again. The other was married. She had an only son that was the only one that she had. Both of them had only children. The son died in a terrible accident in the field, and she wanted her son back to life. And both of those women go to the prophet and cleave and lay hold of the prophet and say, that boy that I loved has been taken from me, and I want him back. I want him back. Give him back to me. God said there was faith. They believed that what was taken away could be restored to them. And they were not afraid to, I tried to find a fancy word for this, I couldn't. They were not afraid to ask big. They were not afraid to ask big. When's the last time you asked big of God? You asked Him for something and everyone said, don't ask for that. When's the last time you asked for something in your child's life, your son or your grandson, your daughter, your granddaughter's life that had been dead for years? Lord, bring it back. Bring back those early passions for Christ. Bring back those early desires and those zeals for the Lord. Bring it back, Lord. God says of these two women, great women of faith, they received it. They asked for it, and they received it. We'll just close with those examples there. Again, the old teaching. Nothing new here. But how we need to be reminded, the Lord is your resources. It is not about coming into this building and sitting in pews and singing nice songs. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. But that is not the essence of the Christian life. The essence of the Christian life is day by day walking side by side on the Lord and leaning hard on Him. And expressing your deep need for Him and asking Him for the big thing in your life. And waiting until by His grace He grants your requests. We need men and women like that. Young men like Timothy needed that. He had grandmother Lois and mother Eunice, and they had an unfeigned faith in them, and they imparted that to that son of theirs, Timothy. May the Lord help us to do the same for His name's sake. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, our brother already asked big this evening in prayer. He asked that somehow, in some way, you might take this little ministry from the platform and use it. And we need to ask big every time the Word of God is presented here from the platform, for we are but lips of clay, minds of clay. We can't remember things from even the simplest things. And yet, the Spirit of God has asked us to believe that by faith, the unseen can happen, that God can speak to us through the presentation of the Word. We ask, O God, that if this has happened tonight, that all of us might again be careful to give the Lord the honor and the glory. We pray that you would help us to be men and women of faith, to walk by faith and not by sight, to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge Him and let Him direct our paths. So thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. We pray for our children and our grandchildren. Help them, Lord, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give each one of them a love for you, Lord, and a love for your word, and a love for the people of God, and a love for the lost. And help them, Lord, to live out their lives in extraordinary ways for you. And help us to set an example for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.